I have lost count of the number of people who have come to me and they've said to me, do you know what? I am where I am today because I had a mother who prayed for me. For many of you over the years have heard the testimony of people, and they have said that, you know, my mother, she was a big, big influence in my life, and she was this influence because she prayed for me day in and day out. And they will say that was the reason, humanly speaking, why I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it takes a funeral for that mother to be buried, or grandmother, whatever, for somebody to say that kind of a thing, or somebody is giving their testimony, as we had here this morning, and they might get up and they might say, you know, my mum had a big influence, my grandmother had a huge influence and impact on my life that led me in time to salvation in Christ. What is it about faithful, praying mothers and their children? What is it that makes mothers often wake up in the middle of the night and then they just suddenly start praying for the children that God has given to them? Or what is it that you see a mother come along when their children might be lying in bed and their children are fast asleep and mum goes in and she prays over her children? Now, make no mistake about it, dads pray for their children as well. There's no doubt about that. But I seem to think, and I've noticed the evidence of this over the years, it's a bit like God's go-to move, his superb plan, as if a mother's prayers are his secret weapon to lead his children to repentance and faith in himself, and then encourage them, once they are saved, to walk more closely with him. And so our nation needs this more than many other things. It needs praying mothers. We have read already today in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll read verse 27 and verse 28 again. For this child, Hannah says, I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah, in the Bible, Old Testament times, prayed for a child. And after many, many childless years, and after many, many agonizing prayers, the Lord finally answered her prayer and gave her a son by the name of Samuel. Now, Hannah's immediate reaction was this: Lord, you have so answered my prayers. I am thrilled here. You've given me this special gift. See, this child, I'll nurture him. I'll love him. I'll pray for him. But Lord, I'm going to hand him back to you, at least in the temporary stage here, return him into your hands so that Samuel can serve in the house of the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. Regarding a mother's prayers, and we have 3 points here, they're all pretty quick. Well, certainly one and two are very fast. A mother's prayers, they're pretty much irresistible. That mother's life, if it's full of Christian love and full of Christian graces, she becomes a shining example of the power and the truth of God. Prayer from her lips is music. The Bible in her hands is special. I'm sure you have had the experience in life of maybe a mother's Bible or a grandmother's Bible. And those are very, very precious things because they counted them precious. They loved them. They read them. They prayed often to the Lord. And that stirs us up to follow that example. By the influence of her prayers and her training, that Christian mom kneeling down beside her family, she is praying to the Lord, bring that blessing on my child that will control his or her life and will lead them to salvation. But not only are they irresistible, the mother's prayers are pretty intense. You see, the love that a mother has for her children will drive and fuel her prayers. And they'll not just be little weak things, they'll be very intense prayers indeed. And so Hannah, in this passage in the Bible, 1 Samuel, she's saying, for this child I pray it. And you can see in that the earnestness, how intense she was in her prayers for that child. Maybe the mother might hold off in prayer for other topics that don't seem to be getting an answer or drawing favor, but she'll stand and she'll seek and she'll keep knocking on the gate of mercy until that gate is opened for her child. Then a third thing. Not only are a mother's prayers intense, not only are they pretty irresistible, but they are instrumental. That is, we can see the results, the success, down through history, of the value of a mother's prayers. There was a man preaching on Hannah's prayer way over 100 years ago, R.R. Booth, and he said, "The grace of God brings salvation as the reward of a mother's faithful labors for her children." Not only that, he also said, of what amazing importance is it that parents and all who have to do with children should realize their trust and fulfill it in the fear of God. And the only way that we realize our trust and fulfill it in the fear of God is to pray for that child's conversion and their walk with God. There was a sculptor, Bacon, and he was working in this particular building, which is, I'm sure you'll work out, Westminster Abbey in London. And they were making a big monument at that time, and somebody coming in, they looked at Bacon and he said to him, "Take care what you're doing, for you're working for eternity." Well, in a far higher sense than making a monument to stand for a number of years of much higher importance are those who were involved in training the young. Mothers in the home, fathers in the home, others like our children's workers here, week by week. And so the call goes out, take care how you train the children, because you're working for eternity. Receive them joyfully in the name of the Lord Jesus, and take them constantly to Him in prayer that never wearies. "For this child I prayed," Hannah said, "and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord." Let me close, despite what is on screen here. This is a guy with a wonderful comb-over, as you can well imagine, from the photograph. But let me tell you a lovely story. When I was in Bible college, and that wasn't yesterday or the day before that, but about 35 years ago, in the Whitfield College of the Bible, some of the men who were studying along with me at that time, and they were studying as I was for ministry, for preaching the gospel, those guys around me had a particular fondness for an American preacher, former generation. It was Thomas DeWitt Talmage, and that's the preacher on screen at the moment. Now, it wasn't until Friday night, just a couple of nights ago, that I began to bore into his background, dig a bit, find a bit more information, and I knew nothing of his grandmother or mother's influence on his life. And this man became a very, very famous preacher. If you were to go to New York, most people will go to New York to shop until they drop. I would love to go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York, a colossal building. Great church where this man preached to thousands of people at a time when Spurgeon was preaching to thousands of people in London. But going back to this man's father, David Talmage, he was the father of a great preacher. Thomas was living at home, 18-year-old boy, living along with his brother Jacob and sister. That's David Talmage, the father, his brother Jacob, and the sister. And the three of them, one night, three children in the family, they're all going out to a party. Their mother, who was actually incapacitated and an invalid at the time, just before the children left and went to the party, she called the three of them through to her bedside and she said, "You're going out to a party, but I want you to know that I shall be on my knees praying for you until you return." The three children went. And on the return, they passed by mother's door and they saw that she was still praying for them. Very early the next morning, Mother Talmage wakened her husband. She asked him, "Get up, and there's a problem in the house. Somebody is wailing and weeping. You need to go and see what's going on." The father went down into the living room, and he found his daughter on her knees. She was crying. And he spoke to her, and she said, "Go to the barn, father, for David, her brother, is in worse need of you than I am. I shall be all right." And the old gentleman went to the barn attached to the house there, and he found his son David, and he was weeping his heart out under a mighty conviction of sin. He realized that he was not right with God. He needed to be, and that conviction had taken hold of him. But when Mr. Talmage prayed a short time with him, David said, "Go to Jacob. He needs you more than I do now, I think. He's in the wagon shed." And it turned out that the Lord saved all three Talmage children that morning in answer to the determined, earnest prayers of their mother. David Talmage, one of the sons, brother here, he had a sweetheart. Don't know if you still use that word. It seems outdated and old-fashioned to me, but he had a sweetheart. He lived down the lane, Catherine. And he got up off his knees, having sought the Lord for his own salvation. And he went straight down to Catherine's home, and he told her the wonderful news about me, my brother, my sister, coming to the Lord, being saved. And he urged Catherine, his girlfriend at the time, to give her heart to the Lord. They prayed together, and she too was added to the list of those who were newly converted. The news of these events reached the church, produced a tremendous sensation, a gracious and widespread revival of real religion in that neighborhood shortly followed. Now that sweetheart down the lane, that girlfriend, Catherine, David's girlfriend, later became his wife, and became the mother of Thomas DeWitt Talmage. Sometime later, that woman entered into a solemn covenant with four other women. And she said, "We will meet up together. We'll meet every Wednesday afternoon. And we'll pray for our children until every last one in the home is saved." And that covenant, those five mothers kept, they maintained until every single child in those five families were brought to the Lord. Thomas was one of them, the preacher in her home, her son. His brothers, in fact, four of Thomas' brothers went into the ministry. One went to China as a missionary. Maybe you, as a mother or a father, you have a similar need today. Maybe you're saying, "Well, you know what, I've got a different need. I have a wayward son and a wayward daughter here. My heart breaks for you," but I say, don't lose heart. God doesn't want you to lose heart. Rather, he wants you to pray, wants you to plead with him over and over with your earnest prayers. He knows what we need even before we even speak a word, but he loves to hear those words offered up to him in earnest prayers for those things that matter in our lives. I'm thankful for a praying mother. I'm thankful for my wife who prays and has prayed over our children all of these years. And we have seen the impact and the value of those prayers. There was a group of singers, they called them the Rambos. They released an album in 1973. And they included on the album this gospel piece, "My Mother Prayed for Me. I looked upon the hillside where Mother had been laid. I saw the lovely flowers they placed upon her grave, and there alone beside her. I then began to weep. I thought about the many times Mama prayed for me. Though winter snow has fallen upon my mother's grave, the flowers once so lovely have withered all away. But still, there's precious memories of her in bygone day. I'll ne'er forget the many times I heard my mother pray. My mother prayed for me and taught me right from wrong. Of her I have sweet memories, although from me she's gone. Her earthly life has ended, and her body's neath the sod. The toils of life for her have passed. She's in the arms of God. Hannah said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has answered, granted my petition that I asked of him." And the challenge, as it goes to us today, is will you, like Hannah, will you, like Talmage mother, will you, like Talmage grandmother, will you pray for your children that they might come to know the Lord, receive his grace and mercy, enjoy his salvation, and walk with him right through to the end of life? As we said at the beginning, so we conclude with this line at the end. What our nation needs is more praying mothers. And I trust that if you can look back in your life to a praying mother or grandmother, that's wonderful. But even if you can't, determine before God, I am going to be that praying mother, so that my children, in reflecting of me, if they remember nothing else about me, will be able to say this: my mother prayed for me. That's so vital. We'll bow briefly in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has happened in this meeting today. We thank thee for mothers gathered here also. Pray that thou wilt guide, bless, and endow them with thy grace, so that they will lead up their families in the ways of the Lord and teach them what is vital. We pray for those that would have loved to have been mothers, but have not had that prayer answered and do not know that joy. And pray for them, each reminder that comes that tweaks at and breaks again their heart, that I will bless them. For those mothers who have lost children and have gone to the grave of their child, that breaks them every day. Their heart is broken with these bitter memories. We ask that thou wilt lift them up in the arms of thy love and care and bless them abundantly today. Come, Lord, and may our nation again get back to the book, back to God, and may we have a whole generation of praying mothers. In Jesus' name and to thy eternal glory, we ask these things. Amen. We're turning to a hymn that in her book is 750. And we have it up on screen. Don't think we've ever sung the hymn in church before, but it's to a familiar tune, so there will not be a problem with that. And then after we sing the hymn, Mr. Stephen Cummings will be coming here to lead us in prayer. He on the Monday night is our bus coordinator, and fills in many other jobs as well in regard to the children's work. Spare part in the afternoon on a Sunday school and various other functions too. But he will lead us in prayer and give thanks for the food after we stand to our feet and sing this particular hymn. O Lord, behold us at thy feet.